We're back on Northwest Georgia Sports Live, and as promised, we have a very special guest joining us today. And if you're a hockey fan that followed hockey in Atlanta, well, you're going to know this voice, no question about it, this name and voice. But right now, he's a writer, producer, copy editor for CNN News and CNN World Sport. And then, of course, he's also the former voice of the now-defunct Atlanta Thrashers. We welcome Dan Kamal to the show. Dan, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, Matt, I guess I'm doing as well as can be expected, and I hope everyone else is during this crisis.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Obviously, I just mentioned that you're working with CNN in a variety of capacities now, and I was going to ask you, what sort of projects do you work on a typical day? But I don't know if there's anything, a such thing as a typical day these days.
Yeah, of course. The predominant by, 90% plus of the stories we're working on are COVID-19 related. First and foremost, CNN and CNN International. I work for both networks. They are news networks first and foremost. So obviously this is a very, very heavy and devastating news cycle that we're in. So that makes up the bulk of what I work on. There are fortunately some uplifting stories, some of which have a sports bent to them that we get to work on, which kind of helps everybody lighten the mood a little bit. But, obviously we're immersed in the COVID-19 coronavirus cycle and hoping that it improves soon.
You know, just before we went on the air, you and I were talking about how we're living in unprecedented times. We've never seen anything like this. And so all of our daily lives have changed in a variety of ways. And for you personally, Dan, what are some of the ways that this has affected your daily life?
Well, obviously, we're all working from home now, or 90%+ of us with CNN. So that's different. I'm lucky that we have the technology that I can actually work on live shows from my house. And the folks at CNN are to be commended. Our parent company now is AT&T, and we are a subdivision of AT&T and part of Warner Media, which is part of the AT&T family. And their IT people have set us up beautifully. So that's different. I literally work on shows from my home office. Being at home all the time, we're trying to be very diligent about the guidelines of stay at home. We're doing that. We do a lot of walking, try to get out. We're in a kind of a suburban area. There's plenty of room to get out and walk without infringing on the social distancing rules. So we try to do that. But, it's certainly different, but it's different for everybody. That's, I guess, one of the unique things about this crisis is that you name me a person on this earth that isn't impacted in similar ways.
Absolutely. And kind of staying on the topic of the technological differences that we're seeing, I think it's going to be interesting once we get past this and move on to whatever the new normal is going to look like at that point, to see how many of the things that have come out of this technologically that people will still utilize in a more frequent basis. I'll give you an example. My mom, she's not really all that into technology and has had to do some meetings with Zoom and different technologies that she wouldn't have used otherwise. And now she's getting to where she's, somewhat comfortable with that. So it'll be interesting to see, once we get past this, how much of that kind of stuff kind of moves forward in a bigger way because of people learning that throughout this process.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how every action has a reaction. Every circumstance has ramifications to it. The only, one of the only pluses you could see from this devastating situation is that the air is getting cleaner, right? I mean, obviously there aren't hundreds of thousands of cars on Atlanta highways every day as there used to be. And, you multiply that times a gazillion times around the world. You can see in parts of India, they're seeing the Himalayas for the first time in decades. So that's part of it. So I'm wondering if you're, along with what you're saying, if once we do get back to a relatively virus-free existence, will more and more people telecommute at least part of the time, more as a way to help save the air and save, you know, certain costs that don't have to be incurred if you can do the job just as properly and as efficiently. I'm amazed. I mean, on Saturday, I worked on seven straight hours of live news programming. I'm amazed that I can do that out of my home, and the technology so far, knock on wood, seems to behave beautifully.
Being somebody that follows a lot of, you know, sports talk radio and things of that nature, and here at WLAQ we have CBS Sports Radio, it's been interesting to watch how they have handled, or listened to, I should say, handled their broadcasts using technology and their hosts, you know, broadcasting from home. And I know they have some glitches from time to time, but it's pretty amazing the quality that you're getting out of that. And you'll have one host in one place, another host in another place. And unless they told you that, there's sometimes where you might not even realize it because the technology's come so far.
Yeah, and you really have to tip your cap to the camaraderie between the co-hosts, too, because there's a rhythm that goes on there, and I was lucky enough to learn that rhythm with guys like Billy Jaffe and Darren Elliott and Jeff Rogers, you know, where you can actually be in different locations and kind of know what the give and take is going to be on the air, and you can jump in when you think it's right, and they can jump in when they think it's right, and most of the time, you're both right, and that comes from really good chemistry and camaraderie.
And when that's happened, there's nothing like it. And I, you know, being a big Thrashers fan, the entire time that they were here, I loved going to the games, and I loved listening to you guys when I couldn't make it down there, or the road games and things of that nature. Loved the radio broadcast because that chemistry, it was unmistakable. I mean, there's no question that it was there and that it was real. And you were the radio voice of the Thrashers every season except for that first one. And then you also were the voice of the Atlanta Knights minor league hockey team for a while as well. So like I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, you know, people know your voice is synonymous with Atlanta hockey. And I know you were very passionate about the team because I've been around you a fair amount back in those days. And like I say, just did a fantastic job with the broadcast and the network. What do you miss most about those times, Dan?
You know, it would have to be two things. The chemistry that you were kind enough to mention, because you're right, that cannot be contrived. That cannot be faked. I was really fortunate to work with great broadcasters. Darren Elliott filled in with me when there were no TV broadcasts. He became a great friend. Billy Jaffe and I worked 5 years together, and it was fantastic. Jeff Rogers, one of the funniest guys I ever met. And, you know, obviously he and Darren Elliott played the game at the highest level, and Jeff had a very long career, actually. So to be able to pick their brains and have that friendship on air with them and have that manifest itself to the audience and have the audience buy into the real chemistry, that was a tremendously gratifying thing for me. The other thing I miss most, Matt, is we're about a company of 300 people, roughly, I think, Thrashers back in the day. And, you know, I would stay downtown on game days from about 9:30 in the morning until about 11:30 at night. And I would make it a point while we're, you know, when my preparation was done, when I had a little bit of downtime, make it a point to try to walk around and talk to and catch up with as many people as I could. And from that built a lot of relationships, which unfortunately, now that it's almost 10 years removed, unfortunately, those friendships have taken a hit. So I miss not seeing those great friends as often as I used to.
Obviously, the Thrashers, for a period of time, you know, it took a little while for them to get to where it felt like they were gaining some momentum. And I remember when you got into, I guess it was the 05-06 season, when you had guys like Ilya Kovalchuk and Marian Hossa and Kozlov and Savard and some of those great players that the Thrashers ended up with. It really felt like things were starting to head in the right direction. They made the playoffs for the first time in 06 and 07. And never got back there, and things just kind of started to fall apart. So when you look back on those times, you know, what happened? Why did that momentum not carry on and take the team and the franchise to that next level?
Yeah, it's you know what? It's a story that probably should be written. There were a convergence of factors, I think, that led to the demise of the franchise. The most tragic was the accident involving, obviously, you know, the two Dannys. It was extremely difficult to see one of the Thrashers players, you know, killed by that accident. And then that was Dan Snyder, of course. And then Danny Heatley, the superstar forward, his career was impacted in a different way, but nonetheless a pretty devastating way as well. I'll never forget those days, but that did have some lasting impact, I think, on the franchise. But I think probably the most devastating impact was the inability of the ownership group that came in after Time Warner spun off the teams, you know, the same time they were spinning off the Hawks and the Braves. And the group that bought us and the Hawks, they almost immediately, it seemed, ended up in court cases battling each other. And that's never a good recipe. And then, you know, it was the on-ice product. There were, as you say, there were flashes where it was trending in the right direction and you could see a team starting to evolve. But for whatever reason, something happened, whether an ill-timed trade or something of that sort happened, or an ill-timed coaching move or the like, would send us back the other direction. So I think it was a combination of the devastating accident, the inability of ownership to work harmoniously with each other, and the inability of management to keep the momentum going on the ice. And then, you know, the fourth factor was the deep, dark recession of 2008.
Right.
That was probably the last proverbial nail, if you're asking my opinion, which you are.
I think about that a lot because just being a hockey fan, I really, really miss having an NHL team in Atlanta. I know a lot of people feel that way. And when I think about it and have conversations with people about it, one of the teams that always pops up in my mind for a lot of reasons is the Nashville Predators, because the first, I don't know, five seasons that they were there in Nashville, they didn't make the playoffs either. But then once they got to that point, they've been able to stay there and they're expected to make the playoffs every year. And so, you know, certainly building a winner is a major factor in that type of situation. But I still believe in my heart, Dan, I know you feel this way too, I just truly believe that Atlanta could be the kind of hockey city that we want to see it be. So with that said, what do you think would have to happen for Atlanta to be able to have success that would put a franchise in position to have some stability and some longevity that we didn't get to see when the Flames were there and then, you know, the Thrashers as well?
Before I answer that question, I want to amplify it on the Predators. You're so right about that, because they were having telethons to encourage people to buy tickets because the team was in danger of leaving. That's now a success story, as you said. The Tampa Bay Lightning almost left, almost died. That's now one of the biggest success stories in the National Hockey League. We were about 10 minutes away from being saved before, as I understand it, the city of Glendale, Arizona council decided they would go forward with the money needed to keep the now Arizona Coyotes in that area of the world. So we almost survived. But what's it going to take? I think if you're looking for a template, look no further than Tampa. You have an owner, a single owner, Jeff Vinnick, who was one of the most successful investors in America, maybe even in American history. I haven't researched it that much, but an eminently successful man and independently wealthy man who's a hockey guy and decides Tampa is where he wants to be. Tampa is where he wants to own. So he comes in and he hires Steve Yzerman as his general manager. So you have the utmost solidity at the ownership level. You have the utmost solidity at the general manager's level. And then it trickles down from there. Those decisions are going to be good decisions. Good people, you know, really talented people are in the right positions making decisions. They're allowed to spend the money that you need to spend to develop a winner that then starts to develop a fan base that brings the money back to you. So what's it going to take? It's going to take ownership with vision, really solid ownership with vision, a solid management team that's capable of operating in a very competitive marketplace and capable of putting together a competitive and successful product. And you watch it fly here in Atlanta. I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime, but this is a great hockey city waiting to happen. Do you need a different location for the arena? I won't say that, but you need better access if you're going to keep the existing arena. Because the way the layout is right now, the infrastructure, it funnels down into too narrow of an area down there. They need easier access, I think. And I think there are plans in the works to develop that whole area. And I hope it means that access, either by public transportation or by vehicle or whatever, makes the flow easier and gives people a chance to get to games and get out of games without feeling claustrophobia.
Another thing I think about, Dan, when I think about NHL and the potential for success in Atlanta is the example set by the Atlanta United, because I went to a game a couple of years ago just to experience it. I'm not a big soccer fan, but it was an unbelievable experience, and it felt like even at that point the team had been there for a couple of years. It felt like they'd been there for 50 years because there was so much tradition, and the way that they laid out the marketing and everything for that, it was a hit. And I know timing had a lot to do with that, but you know, if a group came together and put a NHL franchise together in Atlanta and took a similar approach to that, don't you think that would be a massive step in the right direction?
You are 100% spot on there, Matt. I had the great benefit of working with a marketing company called Lens Marketing and a group of rehab centers in the area, the region called PT Solutions Physical Therapy. And for the past 4.5 years, it ended just in December, we did a sports talk show locally. And I can't tell you how many times I said, that is your template. That is your template for success, not just for soccer, or as they call it in Europe, football, but for any sports franchise to be successful. You have a great owner, like a Jeff Vinnick, you have Arthur Blank, independently wealthy owner who's committed to winning, committed to giving his people the resources to win. But he's also committed to hiring the kind of talent that he then allows to run the product, to generate the success. He brought in people from Europe who had great success in Europe, where the caliber of soccer, also known as football, is even that much greater than it is at the MLS level. So these are eminently talented people coming here and utilizing their skills to help build a brand new product into one of the most successful sports stories internationally in maybe the last 20 years. So you're 100% correct. That's a template anyone should try to follow. I think they're following it in Las Vegas, in the NHL, and I think Seattle's going to have the same successful impact.
Here's the million-dollar question then. Do you think Atlanta will get another shot at it?
It should. It should. These things take time. So, you know, I doubt I'll see it. I would love to see it. I hope you will. It takes time. But the important answer to me is, and I mean this with all my heart, the city should have an NHL franchise. This is a really good hockey city. When you look at the numbers of rinks in the area, look at the youth programs, look at the men's leagues, that rank Atlanta in the top five in the country. And when you think of all the transplants from cities where the NHL is a really big deal, it was a big deal here. It was just the factors that I alluded to earlier that led to the demise of the franchise. But again, the most important thing is this city should have an NHL franchise. Who will step up? I hope the right person, and I hope it's soon.
I am with you 100% on that one. We're joined by Dan Kamal, former voice of the now defunct Atlanta Thrashers. He's currently a writer, producer, copy editor for CNN News and CNN World Sport. And I got a couple more things I wanted to ask you about if you have a minute or two. But I wanted to go back to your days in broadcasting games at the NHL level. You did that for a number of years, and you've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of great players, witness some just unbelievable moments. And so, for example, calling games during rookie seasons of guys like Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby and seeing Ilya Kovalchuk and a lot of the great players that came through Atlanta playing for the Thrashers and for other teams and seeing future Hall of Famers being around legendary players at the end of their career, things of that nature. So are there any moments that just stick out in your mind when you reflect on those days that just jump off the page at you?
Yeah. I mean, there are a few, you know. It's like my entire 15 years in the NHL. After Atlanta, I spent three more years in the league. I was lucky to cover the Winnipeg Jets, which was kind of bittersweet for their inaugural season back in Winnipeg. And then I worked for Fox Sports on the Columbus Blue Jackets telecast for a couple of years. But I'd have to say the most amazing moment for me was meeting Mario Lemieux when he came back to the league. You know, that was amazing to me. At the time, Sidney Crosby was living with him. So, I mean, to be able to talk to Lemieux and then talk to Crosby later, I remember calling Alex Ovechkin's 60th goal. I remember sitting down with Jaromir Jagr and how playful he was and what a great sense of humor he had. But I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, in 15 years, there are a lot of great memories. And the beauty of the NHL is most of the guys, I mean, 99%+ probably, are really grounded, down-to-earth guys who are very accessible for media types like me. So, I mean, you name the franchise, and, you know, I was lucky enough to sit down with Hall of Famers and talk to Hall of Famers and, you know, have them react with me for, you know, several minutes at a time, sometimes 12, 15 minutes at a time, and give me that kind of time and space. Single moments on the ice, I mean, calling Ovechkin's 60th goal at Phillips Arena at the time was a big deal. I mean, that was interesting and a highlight for me. You know, how many times you see a guy score 60?
Yeah,
in the NHL. You know, so but Ovechkin was always accessible. So yeah, it's funny now. We're almost 10 years removed, so I'd have to go back on some of my game books and, you know, try to recall some of the moments and try to relive those moments. But it's all a really pleasant blur for me how accommodating some of these greatest ever players were in the time I was lucky to be there.
That is so cool. And one of the first names that you mentioned, Mario Lemieux, I remember one of the times that y'all had affiliates events that we would attend on a regular basis. I remember one time that the affiliates got to meet Mario Lemieux. We kind of happened to be in the right place at the right time doing a tour of the arena. And I talk about that on this show frequently as being one of my most exciting moments of being a sports fan, was getting the opportunity to meet him and how friendly he was and how cool it was that happened. So I think that's great that you brought that up.
You know, he's an amazing gentleman. You know, one of the classiest guys to ever play the game, and he's the same way off the ice. You know, as you were mentioning how cool it was to meet Mario Lemieux, it popped into my mind that we were there for Brian Leetch's night for the New York Rangers. And, you know, one of the greatest Americans ever to put on a uniform, you know. And to be there at Madison Square Garden for his night was absolutely spectacular. You know, recently I was lucky enough to see another great, Marty St. Louis, the great Tampa Bay Lightning Hall of Famer now, that I happened to be there recently for his night, and it brought back memories then of being there for Brian Leetch's night. So, yeah, the memories are are absolutely stunning for me still. But the most important thing for me, Matt, is that I enjoyed every second of it. You know what I mean? It's like college. When I was in college, I thought, how in the world are you ever going to duplicate this kind of experience? You know what I mean? So even though I did take my studies pretty seriously, I also realized, you know, you're never going to get to live this way in this kind of scenario for again. So try to enjoy it. I tried to enjoy it. And when I was lucky enough to reach the NHL level, I said to myself, just enjoy every moment of the ride. I tried to do that. It wasn't hard to do that because I was actually having the time of my life, but that's probably the biggest, greatest memory for me is that I got to do it for 15 years and I enjoyed every minute of it. And Brian Leetch was the great American player and Marty St. Louis was the great American university player at the University of Vermont, but he was actually born in Quebec. So I just want to make sure I've got that straight. But seeing both their banners, their numbers raised into the rafters, one when I was still broadcasting Thrashers games and one when I was just a fan going down to Tampa to catch some hockey, two great memories for me.
That is so cool, man. Well, I tell you what, man, I really, really appreciate you taking some time today because, again, some of my best memories, being a young man is going to the Thrashers games and coming to the affiliates events and being around you and some of the other folks involved in the Thrashers. And I'm so sad that it's not there anymore. But as you mentioned, I'm really grateful that it happened. And those were special times. And I just wanted to thank you for, you know, how you were to us as affiliates. And then also for giving me some time today, because this has been a thrill for me to get to chat with you.
Matt, your family means a ton to me. You guys were absolutely some of our biggest supporters. So please, my warmest regards to everybody there in the Davis family. And thank you for your time.
We've been joined by Dan Kamal, writer, producer, copy editor for CNN News and CNN World Sport. And if people like to check in on you and find some of your articles and things of that nature, how can people find you, Dan?
Well, mostly behind the scenes at CNN. Occasionally when there's a big hockey story, when sports are actually going on, they may pop me on the air to talk about it. But mostly they'd have to watch CNN programming, especially on the international side, and realize that I may have worked on something, but we're behind the scenes most of the time, Matt. And you know what? I don't mind that at all. I had my day in the proverbial sun, and I'm happy to work with some great people at CNN. Trust me.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to hear your voice and catch up with you. And I hope I can check in with you from time to time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
You too.